Seven. Good evening, and welcome to Meyerstown Church of the Brethren this evening. Pastor Dennison, it's good to have you join us this evening for our Christmas Eve worship service. Just a few announcements before we come into this time of worship together. We will be giving you the opportunity this evening to support some of the tornado relief through an offering. The offering plates are in the back of the sanctuary, and if you'd like to donate to relief for Kentucky, the other victims of tornadoes, you're free to do that. We'll also collect that on Sunday morning, so if you'll be with us on Sunday morning, you'll also be able to contribute to that. If you're going to write a check, just write a check to the church, Meyerstown Church of the Brethren, and we will be forwarding that on to tornado relief in the Midwest. Also, a few little minor changes in the order this evening. Towards the end of the service, we have Brooke Liske listed for playing her violin. Brooke is not feeling well this evening, so she won't be with us this evening. And in her place, Katrina Wagner will play one of her numbers at the spot listed, and then she'll be playing Silent Night, where Brooke is listed in the program. I invite you to stand and join with me in responsive reading of the call to worship. A child has been born for us, whose name is called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, He is Emmanuel, God with us. Would you pray, please? God of surprising love and hope, we come this evening to the manger, gazing lovingly on the child born to bring hope to the world. Open our hearts tonight as we hear the story anew. Help us to be guided by the light of Jesus, that we may feel the power of your love and bring that love to all we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us join in singing, O Come, All Ye Faithful. seated. This evening we will share the account of the birth of Jesus in Scripture and in song, and Ralph Ackerman and Eli Heise will lead us in reading portions of Scripture from the Christmas story.
From the NIV, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with the help of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. From the NIV, the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
This is chapter 2, verses, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken over the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went there to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to their town, up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you.
The visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
Well, a few years back before COVID, you remember those years before COVID? A Fort Worth, Texas newspaper included a review of the Rockettes' Christmas special. The writer and reviewer was highly offended that Santa Claus had to share the stage with Jesus and a manger. The reviewer said that it would have been okay had the audience known what to expect. Well, God has always been known for acting in some unexpected ways. And so why not through a Rockettes performance? That's pretty much how it happened on that first Christmas. Neither Mary nor Joseph was expecting the angels to appear and tell them, oh, by the way, you're going to be parents, and it's not going to happen in the usual way. And they certainly weren't expecting a trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem when it was time for the baby to be born. And those shepherds out in the fields guarding their sheep were going about their business as usual, not expecting to have their night interrupted with a trip into Bethlehem to see a newborn baby boy. As the Apostle Paul once said, the foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And he also said, when the right time came, God sent his son. God's wisdom and God's timing, God often catches us by surprise. Now, it's not totally true to say people were not expecting something. They were expecting God to keep his promise to send a Messiah who would save Israel. It would happen sometime. They were expecting a king who would come from God, but not like this. And probably the biggest surprise of all was that God became human, not as a conquering king, but as a tiny newborn baby. Matthew quotes from Isaiah 7:14, the virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And then Matthew adds a little explanation that Emmanuel means God with us. The child of Bethlehem, Jesus, is God with us. More surprises. God became one of us. God became touchable and approachable. God became a helpless baby that had to be fed and nursed and burped and changed. And yes, occasionally would cry. God had to grow up and learn reading and writing and arithmetic. He learned from his earthly father how to be a builder. Pastor and teacher and author Dick Foth says the gospel in a nutshell is this. He came to our place. He took our place. And he invites us to his place. He took our place. He came to our place. He took our place. And he invites us to his place. So we gather here this evening celebrating the birth of Emmanuel, God who came, God who is with us. But do we really understand all that that means? You see, when Jesus was born, the world changed. Oh, not so noticeably overnight, but it changed. And that change is still unfolding all around us. God is still with us. I think one of the greatest gifts a parent or a grandparent can give to a child is the gift of presence. That's P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. That's what kids want. They want us to be with them. The greatest gift God has given us is the gift of presence. God is with us. And what are the implications of God being with us? Well, for one, it means that God knows by experience what we experience. I remember when I was a child in Sunday school, there was a picture of Jesus probably in every classroom, the same one, maybe even in your Sunday school classes, the same one was hanging there as well. Most of those pictures didn't encourage me to think of Jesus as someone who lived like me. His hair was perfect, his smile was perfect, everything looked perfect in those pictures. And when you look at those kinds of pictures, it's difficult to think of Jesus as a boy wrestling with his friends or going to school or learning a trade or hitting his thumb with a hammer or negotiating the price of a construction job. But the truth of God with us is that he knows everything we experience. He knows our weariness. He knows our temptations. He knows our pain. God knows, boy, girl, teenager, man or woman, God knows what we go through, because in Jesus, he walked where we walk. He stood where we stand. He understands. Because Jesus is God with us and became one of us, he knows exactly by experience what we experience. And also because God is with us, we can become one with him. Now, that statement might require a little explanation. I don't mean we can become God. What I mean is that we can share with God an intimate and personal relationship. Kind of like the relationship shared by a husband and wife who've been married for many years. They've grown closer over the years. They even start to look alike and talk alike. In a sense, they really do become one. And through faith in Jesus, his spirit lives in us, and we can share this kind of intimate relationship with God. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends." Think about that. The great God of all creation wants to be your friend. It's this kind of intimate relationship that I'm talking about. The kind of relationship where you can find yourself feeling like Jesus is right there with you. You find yourself thinking like Jesus thinks. You echo back his word to him, and you love him more with each and every passing day. God is with us. God became one of us and made that kind of intimate, personal relationship possible. Christmas is kind of a good news, bad news kind of thing. The good news is, of course, that God is with us. The bad news is that we can reject God's gift, and sin can separate us from God. Those things we've done that we shouldn't have done, those things that we didn't do that we should have done, that's what the Bible calls sin. And the penalty for sin is death and eternal separation from God. But God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, God with us, to die in our place. Jesus was born to die. He took on human flesh so he could die in our place and free us from the power of sin. And the Almighty God became God with us because he wants to be with us. Think about this. God wants to be with you now and to spend forever with you. God did the unexpected and extraordinary to make that possible. God with us means we can live with hope and peace. We can experience in real and powerful ways the love that God has for us now and always. He came to our place. He took our place. And he invites us back to his place. On one amazing holy night, the Almighty God broke into time to be with us, that we might know and be with God this day and forever. It's the best Christmas gift you'll ever receive. The biggest question is, have you accepted God's gift? The time has come. The one who saves us brings God's light into our world. and we light the Christ candle this evening in celebration of God's most precious gift, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Christ, the world's true light, lights our paths and our lives. Receive the light and let its warm glow be in your hearts this night. The glory of the Lord shines on this night all around us. I invite you to take your candle and we'll surround the sanctuary, light our candles, and sing together the carols. It came upon a midnight clear, away in a manger, and silent night.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. He saw the earth revealed to men from hands of gracious King.
Jesus Christ, the true light, has come into the world. May he light your lives this day and always, and might you go in his peace. Have a blessed and merry Christmas.
We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas.